I'm Marco Werman, and this is The World. No one likes to be lied to, but if the lies are part of an undercover police operation, at what point does the undercover cop have an obligation to come clean with those he duped? That question is at the heart of a recent story in The New Yorker. It's about a couple, Bob and Jackie. Bob Lambert was a British police officer assigned to secretly infiltrate the animal rights movement. He pretended to be an activist named Bob Robinson. Jackie was an activist who fell for Bob's deception to the point of falling in love with him. Now, decades later, the real nature of their relationship has emerged, and Jackie is one of several women suing British police for deceit and for what she describes as rape by the state. Lauren Collins wrote that New Yorker story. I asked her how Bob and Jackie met in the first place.
They met in 1984 outside an animal rights rally in East London. Jackie was there sort of in her red uniform with a scarf around her neck. She'd just come from working the counter at the Avis car rental. And she doesn't know to this day whether Bob was there expressly to pick her up or whether they met serendipitously and things went from there.
And at the time, what was Bob's mission on behalf of the London Metropolitan Police?
Bob was a member of the Special Demonstrations Squad, which is the Met's domestic intelligence gathering arm. So he was beginning an undercover deployment in which his mission was to infiltrate the animal rights scene, which had become sort of increasingly restive across the UK.
So he's undercover. What are the rules for an undercover police officer getting romantic, getting intimate with somebody that they're supposed to be spying on, basically?
That's exactly what everybody's trying to figure out now. We know that Bob was a member of the SDS. The Met has denied that its officers were the police. They've denied that its officers were instructed to seduce civilians as sort of tradecraft during their undercover deployments. But I think that one could wonder, and this is what people, you know, many people have wondered now, after seeing this pattern of women seduced and abandoned according to a very specific template, whether the department didn't at the very least turn a blind eye.
Yeah, Jackie's is an especially sad story, or maybe you're just focusing on her and that's why it's sad. But was she an easy target for Bob, or could it have been any woman? I mean, what kind of woman is Jackie?
This was the question that haunted Jackie herself more than anything, and continues to haunt her in the couple of years since she's learned who Bob really was. She was certainly somebody who was looking for some sort of emotional ballast. She'd had, you know, a somewhat tumultuous upbringing. She'd left home at 16, and she's living by herself and sort of trying to make her way in the world, and I think was in many senses really hungry for affection. So in that sense, she might have been an easy target.
So Jackie and Bob, they're intimate. They're a couple. But at a certain point, he basically walks out on her. Tell us what happened.
Bob and Jackie were a couple. They'd been living together for a while, and they had decided consciously to have a child. Their child wasn't an accident. He was born, and a little bit after that, Bob came to Jackie and he said, "Listen, I've got to tell you something." And he basically said things were getting too hot in London. He'd run into some trouble in the animal rights scene and that he was going to have to leave and go to Spain.
How long is he in Spain for? How long does Jackie believe he is in Spain for before she finds
Jackie
him?
Jackie never saw him again after he left, after he walked out the door in 1987.
So take us to that moment when Jackie does find out where he is and who he is.
So you have to flash forward 25 years. Jackie is now a high school teacher in the suburbs of London. And the way she told it to me, it's a Thursday afternoon, the start of her weekend. She comes home, goes out to her garden. It's a sunny day with a cup of tea and sits down just to read the day's newspaper. So there she is flipping through the newspaper when a photograph catches her eye. And it's an old picture of Bob, the father of her son, whom she had last seen in 1987. The headline above the picture says that he was an undercover policeman, and that's the first time she had an inkling.
Right. They meet each other after some rather tormented communication. And what does happen to their relationship?
Well, that's the thing. Jackie, you know, as she later put it to me, unlike many of the other women, has a son with this person and presumably may have grandchildren with him one day. And as much as she would like to put this chapter of her past behind her, has to contend with the fact that her son now stands to regain a father now that Bob Robinson, now Bob Lambert, has sort of come out of the woodwork all of a sudden.
And he's, meantime, married to somebody else. So we've got sex, lies, spying by really a handful of British police spies. It's caused a scandal. Jackie and a group of at least 10 other women have sued the Metropolitan Police. What is their case?
So Jackie and other women are suing the Met for deceit, assault, misfeasance in public office, and negligence, which is all a technical way of saying that they feel they were treated inhumanely by the state and that their right to a private life was violated.
There's been a court ruling in the case. Last week, the Crown Prosecution Service said there was insufficient evidence to prosecute four officers for offenses including rape and sexual assault. So have you spoken with Jackie about her reaction? Does this close the matter now?
It doesn't affect the case that she's bringing at all. It simply means that the Met has declined to bring criminal misconduct charges against the officers. I think it's fair to say that the women are probably disappointed. I mean, they'd like to see, you know, the book thrown at these guys, but the ruling doesn't have any effect on the lawsuits that they're bringing, which are under common law and the Human Rights Act.
So what do you think the lesson is from the story of Bob and Jackie? I mean, it's an undercover surveillance operation that went too far. What can we draw from it?
I'm not sure. I mean, I think that the players themselves, Bob and Jackie, are still trying to figure out where the psychological aftermath of this leaves them. To me, what was interesting about the story was that it involves a sort of long, strange dance over the course of many, many years between two people who have grown and changed and evolved and maybe regretted and repented in some ways, but are still bound to each other through this thing that happened between them 25 years ago.
In your heart of hearts, do you think that Bob and Jackie were actually in love?
That is the killer question. And I have to say, this is the first story I've ever immersed myself in for months and emerged with more questions than I had when I started it. Whatever the seed of the relationship was and however it germinated, I think if you read through to the end of the story and find out what happens between Jackie and Bob and the triangle that now includes their son, there is some semblance of love there, as complicated and fraught as the relationship remains.
Reporter Lauren Collins writes for The New Yorker. Thanks very much for speaking with us.
Thanks so much. It was a pleasure.
Wow, what a story.